Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Sustainability Unraveled, a podcast presented by TÜV SÜD. I'm your host, Laura Oberhausen, and together with my co-host, Cornelius Daum, our aim is to unravel the complexity of the broad field of sustainability in order to achieve more clarity.
Hello also from my side. Today, we'll do a deep dive into the world of sustainable buildings with the theme Building Tomorrow, Efficient, Safe, and Climate Neutral Buildings. As we seek efficiency, safety, and climate neutrality, the construction industry is at the forefront of innovation and transformation.
I would like to start with some facts and figures to set the scene and to give a little more context. One point that stood out to me while researching on today's topic was that the existing building infrastructure generates over a quarter of the world's annual CO2 emissions. That is a staggering figure that really underlines the urgent need for transformative action. And honestly speaking, the clock is ticking. By 2030, the entire building sector will have to halve its emissions compared to the 2019 levels to efficiently limit global warming.
Here's another important fact. Building accounts for nearly 40% of the global energy-related carbon emissions, making them a significant contributor of climate change. Organizations are facing increasing pressure from regulators, customers, and internal stakeholders to make sustainable changes that meet these ambitious targets.
Absolutely. You could almost say that something like a sustainable lens is needed throughout the entire building lifecycle, from investment to design, construction, and operation, to help reduce energy consumption and prioritize climate-friendly materials. This lens or perspective is also important in a way of recognizing that a sustainable approach is not just about building green buildings, it's also about digitally transforming the industry. Data transparency, for example, is key to identifying energy efficiency potential and taking strategic decisions. By embracing solutions that address the entire building lifecycle, organizations can effectively improve their overall carbon footprint and meet their long-term sustainability commitments.
I absolutely agree, Laura. From minimum performance standards to the use of efficient and renewable building technologies, the journey towards carbon-neutral buildings requires rapid change. This decade is crucial for implementing measures to achieve our sustainability goals. So in this episode, let's explore why buildings are important in the clean energy transition and what steps need to be taken to get the sector on track for a net zero emission scenario by 2050.
We will explore the tools and approaches that are reshaping the way we construct and inhabit buildings, from advanced building materials to smart energy management systems. Whether you're a forward-thinking architect, a sustainability-minded business leader, or simply curious about sustainable buildings, this is the right episode for you.
So, I would say, without further ado, let's jump into our expert interview with Hannes Andres, our business line manager for smart sustainable buildings at TÜV SÜD. Hannes, can you tell us a bit about your background and your role within the sustainable building industry, and what initially sparked your interest in this field?
Sure. First of all, it's a pleasure to be here today, Laura and Cornelius. I really enjoy being part of this podcast and being part of this holistic program. So I started my career as a draftsman, as an apprentice, and moved then continuously forward into a civil engineering education, into business administration, and finally also in a doctoral research, ending up as a doctor of business administration. Academically, professionally, I always worked with buildings and different parts of the building supply chain as a consultant, as a project manager, as a site manager, and yeah, now finally arrived at TÜV SÜD as a business line manager. Within the business line, we are approximately 200 people that are associated to the business line. We are covering a wide range of different services related to the digital twin, decarbonization, and general ESG compliance within the real estate industry.
Welcome also from my side, Hannes. It's great to have you with us. And we've already done some setting the scene in our intro. So I was wondering, could you go a little more into the detail and explain what some of the key targets in terms of emissions reduction and climate neutrality are?
Yes, sure. I think there are two different sides of the same coin. If we're talking about this narrowed down field, on the one hand, we are having decarbonization, which means that we need to be compliant with our current aims that we are having, which is 1.5 or 2 degree, depending on what setting we are following after. And on the other hand, we have to generate more stable buildings. So we have to make climate resilient infrastructure to really be prepared for any extreme weather events that will occur.
Okay, that's good. So Keep in mind we have two main goals, climate resistance and climate change prevention. And that might require different measures, I guess. If we talk about the second point, meaning the role of sustainable buildings in the broader context of combating climate change, could you provide some further insights into the current state of global CO2 emissions from building infrastructure and the urgency for transformative action?
Yes, sure. I mean, there is probably a start with the Paris Agreement that affects all different branches, right? And then this is addressed into various frameworks like in the EU taxonomy and other different elements that are established around the globe. Furthermore, we're having local legislation that is adapting to this overall EU-based legislations that are following after. And additionally, it's notable that finance-driven frameworks established as well as insurance companies also review their sustainable impact on whether they want to make insurance decision or not. And as last point, we see a very much increase of green building certification to really give reliability to the current building infrastructure that we're having, even if these frameworks remain mostly on a volunteer basis.
And I believe it's not just about carbon emissions. Probably there are some more aspects to consider. Maybe you can elaborate a little bit on that.
Yes, of course. There are so many different ESG aspects of a building beyond the topic of decarbonization. Even the E, it goes far beyond. We are having topics like circular economy. We are having the topic that was mentioned before, climate resilience. But there is also a wide range of S&G aspects, so social and governance aspect, because all of the topics that we're having in the social and governance need to be mirrored on the building, because we spend 90% of our time in the buildings. So there is really the need that we create a great environment for the people like using the building, living in the building, working in the building. And this can be done by making or considering user comfort aspects, also gender diversity, possibilities to store bikes, and so on. So this goes far beyond the topic of decarbonization.
Thanks, that was really interesting. And I would like to pick up one of the points you made earlier for my next question. So you talked about some aspects that are really specific for the European Union. So are there any similar regulations outside of the EU? And if so, what are the effects, and is the focus generally different or the same?
Well, the focus is the same. It's about decarbonization. So decarbonization, from all the criteria that I mentioned before, is very much in the focus of the governance. We have a very interesting green plan in Singapore that covers building as well, and that makes even certification in certain area mandatory for buildings. But also, for instance, if we are looking on the other side of the globe, in the United States, we see a lot of local laws established. So it's a very decentralized system. And New York, for sure, is one of the main drivers of generating these local laws and really fostering implementation, in particular with their local law 97.
Let's go into a little more detail when it comes to the regulations. So generally speaking, they are well-intentioned, right? But at the same time, they often create hurdles for companies. So could you explain what are like key challenges that occur in implementing sustainable building practices?
Sure, that's a fair question. I think currently we see a lot of the regulations being established, though there is a change, there is a big insecurity. Also, we discussed a little bit of the different levels that we are having that are impacting decision making. And so it's very complex for institutions to follow a certain guideline, because sustainability remains, even if we are having criteria, for instance, coming from green building certification system, remains very complex. Furthermore, the industry is going through a huge change. Yeah, we heard about big bankruptcies in the German-speaking area. We see a very difficult situation in China that potentially impacting far beyond the real estate market. And also in the United States, there's a complex situation. So overall, post-COVID, real estate have a difficult time, also related, starting with the supply chains, but now ending up in high interest rates. So there are a lot of industry-specific challenges right now.
Understood. And if we now switch into a solution-oriented perspective, which strategies can companies adopt or implement to address these financial and operational implications?
I think that's a very good question. For this question, we have to split between the existing built infrastructure and new construction projects. So for new construction projects, there is the topic of the scope 3 emissions and the gray emission that we are having inside the building products. And so therefore, the LCA is a very, very important part. And if we start early in the project's planning to implement a holistic sustainability strategy and follow a certain level of ambition, this contributes, of course, to the final result because our impact on the certain project is the biggest in the beginning. For the existing building structure is slightly different, right? Because we don't have to consider the actually gray emission of the material since it's already built. So we have to really look at the operation and see where can we streamline operations, where can we search for decentralized energy productions, and what other measures can we apply to lower the energy consumption and the total conformance of a building. By the way, in the European Union, 85 to 95% of the buildings will be existing once when we want to reach our climate targets by 2050. So this is a clear focus that we can't forget the existing buildings. So we have to really consider every time both.
Yeah, Laura, you mentioned advanced building materials and smart energy management systems at the beginning of this episode as levers to move towards more sustainable buildings. Hannes, what are some of the latest innovations and technologies being deployed in sustainable buildings?
Sure, let's talk about the different technologies that we're currently applying also. In particular, in the new building sector, there is a lot of digitization happening, or actually for both, for new and existing buildings. For new buildings, there is the term BIM, Building Information Modeling, a technology that is applied and have a huge impact on the operations because different type of simulations and applications can be run. Also, the previous mentioned life cycle assessment can be conducted via the BIM model. And so we are having different opportunities in bringing the stakeholders of construction projects together and really have a big impact on the project. Well, for existing buildings, it's actually the same. Digitization have an impact as well, but it's a little bit different. So we are building more energy modeling rather than complete BIM models, which are a little bit less heavy, but use really the information that we're having from the building to adapt certain measures digitally, which are then reproduced in presence. And one of the tools that is here very, very important is the technical monitoring services, where we really have the possibility to scan the HVAC operation of a building. So this is actually the heating and cooling of a building and search for certain possibilities to improve its performance and to streamline the energy consumption.
Earlier you mentioned also a life cycle assessment and CFD simulations. Can you maybe elaborate a little bit more on these terms or these technologies?
Sure. A life cycle assessment is in particular important for the new construction. And this is exactly what I meant when I was talking previously about that every material used in a building have gray emissions. And this probably is the sum of the climate impact that we are getting from the sum of the materials. And so we can produce carbon footprint, but also other measures that impact the climate. So CFD simulations are computer fluid dynamics simulations, which helps to use a digital model and apply physics and math to the model parameters to really search for optimal solutions, for instance, in facade systems or other infrastructure. So there is a wide range of applications that can be processed within these models.
Maybe just one more additional clarification. You also mentioned technical monitoring earlier in your answer. I heard the term LIME as well in that context.
Yes, sure. Thank you for the question. LIME is a software we as TÜV SÜD created. It means live measure. And it adds live measure to the building as one of the new aspects. Because originally we did an ESG due diligence, so one-time assessment of the building. And now we want to go to a continuous basis. And therefore, we need live data of the building. And this is what we get out with the technical monitoring. Additionally, we have the possibility to mirror different schemes on the building. So we have different schemes established within LIME and can apply it on the building and see how it's performing in the great variety of schemes that are out there. Additionally, we are having also, this live data described and data coming from a big data source for really assessing natural hazard that can occur to the building by really considering the building physics and the location where the building is actually located. And all of this data can be aggregated then on a portfolio level. Well, then the decision making of the building owners or asset managers or portfolio owners can be streamlined to really manifest ESG compliant buildings and foster a decarbonization strategy.
Thanks, Hannes. You've already answered parts of my next question, as you already covered the technical monitoring in quite a detail. So could you briefly explain how Technical monitoring helps companies in the end to meet their sustainability goals and or also comply with international and then also local standards and regulations? I mean, really huge question, but over to you.
Yeah, that's a great question. The technical monitoring is a certain part of our tool set. On the one hand, it delivers information that can be used for ESG reporting. On the other hand, it really gives us transparency and allows us to apply certain measures on the heating and cooling systems and streamline the operation of the different models to increase the energy efficiency and lower the carbon emissions.
I always find it exciting and more tangible to get insights into actual projects. Hannes, can you share some recent success stories or notable examples of sustainable building projects?
Yes, sure. I think one that came to my mind that I shared with Stefan Wolter to the audience of the Bosch Connected World, where we had a facility of ThyssenKrupp in Kiel, which we analyzed and where we could apply certain measures to the heating and cooling and really reduce the primary energy consumptions in our simulations of 30%. Which is then impacting the carbon footprint tremendously.
And that's a good example. But what about TÜV SÜD internally? Do we also walk the talk?
Yes, of course. We try to walk the talk in all of the existing buildings that TÜV SÜD has. For instance, we have the Newton here or the building algorithm right here in Munich, which really meet the best level of sustainable requirements from DGNB in this context, which is the German certification system. On the other hand, there is, for instance, the 15 IBP in Singapore, where the BCA Greenmark scheme is applied and a lot of simulation were done to improve the building performance. And this was also awarded in the highest level of excellence.
Can I jump in here? Because I would like to add another perspective that you previously mentioned, but we haven't covered in this context yet. So ESGs, could you elaborate on how sustainability certifications and rating systems contribute to creating, let's say, a healthier environment and ecosystem while at the same time enhancing the value of real estate assets?
Absolutely. So there are already some points we discussed, also the different regulations. For instance, the EU taxonomy is a major thing that real estate owners consider now. And there are these aspects like environmental, in particular energy, waste, water, that all need to be improved to really make the operations of the building being streamlined. And on the other hand, there is the S&G aspects we were also discussing about, which are considered, for instance, in the green building certification system and deliver a good benchmark to maintain the value of the certain buildings.
And just one point I would like to add, the ESGs also apply to the walking the talk with our own buildings, because previously you especially mentioned the environmental aspect.
Absolutely, yes. The green building certification systems we applied here in Munich, but also in Singapore, really incorporate this different ESG aspects and consider it in a very high and advanced level.
Thank you, Hannes. Just one last question from my side. How are actually industry stakeholders collaborating to drive advancements in sustainable construction practices? How do we see collaboration in the industry?
Well, traditionally, there are in our industry a lot of boundaries between the companies. However, I feel that the current technology that is adopted for new construction and existing buildings really focuses on collaboration and building up a holistic ecosystem to collaborate better. So in BIM, it's very important that we share information. And also for existing buildings, there are a lot of solution sets that really benefit from the whole data. And I think we as TÜV SÜD will have a crucial role in it.
That's a great link to my last question for you, Hannes. So what role do third-party certification and validation play in enhancing the credibility and also the trustworthiness of sustainable building initiatives?
Yes, of course. I think we are a very important player and can contribute a lot to the holistic decarbonization journey and to the journey of making and creating better buildings by adding our core assets that we are having, being a reliable and trustful partner and really addressing sustainability challenges by supporting industry stakeholders.
Thank you very much, Hannes, for being our guest today. Let's wrap up this episode with our key takeaways. My first takeaway is the urgent need for action. The existing building infrastructure generates over a quarter of the world's annual CO2 emissions and accounts for nearly 40% of global energy-related carbon emissions. there's an urgent need for transformative action to halve emissions by 2030 compared to 2019 levels to effectively limit global warming.
Takeaway number two is that sustainability in the building sector requires a holistic approach throughout the entire life cycle, from investment to design, construction, and operation. This approach involves reducing energy consumption, prioritizing climate-friendly materials, and embracing digital transformation to improve the overall carbon footprint.
The third takeaway is that regulations such as the EU Green Building Regulation and country-specific legislations drive sustainability efforts but also represent implementation challenges. These challenges include industry education, fragmented supply chains, and financial pressure by factors like raising interest rates and post-COVID conditions.
Next on my list are the innovations in sustainable construction, such as digital twins, BIM, so building information modeling, and the technical monitoring tools that are reshaping sustainable construction practices. These technologies enable better communication, interface management, and performance monitoring, and result in a more efficient and sustainable building process.
And last but not least, collaboration among industry stakeholders is essential to drive advancements in sustainable construction practices. Third-party certification and validation plays a crucial role in enhancing the credibility and trustworthiness of sustainable building initiatives, ensuring reliability and fostering trust in sustainability effort.
Any closing remarks or anything else you would like to add, Hannes?
Well, I think you covered already a lot in your comprehensive summary. Probably I would like to play the attention again to the collaboration that we need for the industry and invite, of course, everyone to look a little bit closer into what TÜV SÜD does as a company into the field of sustainability for buildings, for real estate, and also for infrastructure, so that we can define new ways together. And I just can invite everybody to be part and to go on the journey together with us. Thank you so much, Laura and Cornelius, that I could be your guest.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. And also thanks to everyone tuning into today's episode of Sustainability Unraveled. We hope you found our discussion with Hannes as insightful and inspiring as we did.
And don't forget to subscribe to be the first to discover our latest episodes. We've got some great ones in store for you. Don't miss this opportunity to expand your knowledge and take action for a more sustainable future.
And as always, I would like to remind you that we do really value your feedback and welcome any suggestions you might have for future episodes. So let's build an engaged community dedicated to a sustainable future together. Talk to you soon.